Well, I wonder whether or not you know what to do if, when you wander into Saxon Square a bit later on today, you get attacked by an anaconda. Anybody know what to do? I've heard there's one wandering around in Saxon Square at the moment. Well, there's an old story that's told about some soldiers who were training ready to go to the jungle. And the story goes something like this. It says, if ever you're attacked by an anaconda, do not run and do not panic. That's really good advice. Instead, lie flat on the ground and keep your arms tight to your sides. Let the snake swallow you, head first. Make sure that the snake swallows you up to your knees, then and only then reach for your knife and cut yourself free from the inside out. There you go. I bet you're glad you came to church this morning. Enjoy your coffee in Saxon Square later. Of course, there's one really, really important detail in that advice, and it's this. You need your knife. You need your knife. You see, you can follow every other one of those instructions perfectly well. You can lie still, you can keep calm, you can allow yourself to be swallowed in the right direction up to your knees. But if at the crucial moment when you reach to grab hold of your knife is not there, you are toast. Here's the learning point. You need to check you have the right equipment before the attack comes. And I think that's the point that Paul is making in Ephesians chapter 6. He's wanting to say to us this morning, look, hasn't it been great, this journey that we've been on over the last 9 weeks? Hasn't it been brilliant to take note of everything that's been said from chapter 1 right the way through to halfway through chapter 6 in our series, in our letter so far? All of that really matters, and we need to grab hold of that and we need to not forget it. But don't miss this final word Paul is wanting to say to us. Because if you try and live the Christian life without the equipment that God has given to us, then you're like that character in the little drama that we saw earlier. You are in real danger. I don't know if you noticed when Duncan read it, but right at the very, very beginning of our text, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the very first word, I think, is one of the Bible's very important words. It's the word finally. Finally. Now, when Paul says finally there, I don't think he's simply saying, do you know what, I'm nearly done. I know it's been a long letter. When preachers say finally, they never really mean it. But actually, that's not what Paul means here. Paul is saying here, in the light of everything I've already said in chapters 1 through to 5, finally, this is the thing that you really must not forget. You see, I think Paul paints this really vivid imagery, doesn't he, for us in our text. He reminds us this morning that the Christian life is not experienced in a playground, but in fact the spiritual life is experienced on the battlefield. We don't do life as Christians in the playground, we do it on the battlefield. So perhaps it's not surprising then that he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Verse 11, make sure you put on not part of the armor of God, but the full armor of God. Verse 12, he reminds us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Now, some of you, when you came to church this morning, made the most terrible mistake, and I can see it from here. Some of you came to church naked. Now, what I love is some of you kind of took a quick look down there just to see if... Of course, I'm speaking metaphorically, but spiritually speaking, that's how many of us try to live the Christian life. We live life each day feeling uncovered, feeling unguarded, feeling unprepared, feeling unequipped. I wonder what the first thing is you do when you wake up in the morning. My guess is that many of us reach for our phones, and then we rush into the day, stepping over the clothing that's probably lying on the floor, that was lying by the bed the night before, and we simply react in every single moment to all those things that come our way. And then we begin to wonder later in the day why it is we're feeling so spiritually vulnerable. Paul is talking here about the devil's schemes, and he's saying God has given to you every single piece of equipment that you need to stand against his schemes. And I wonder sometimes if after we've checked our phones and we jump out of bed and we step over clothing, whether some of the clothing we're actually stepping over is that full armor of God that Paul speaks about, so that we can take our stand and continue to stand when we feel the attack of Satan. In other words, Paul is saying to us this morning, make sure you get dressed, but dress in the appropriate clothing for the day that's coming your way. Now, what I want us to see this morning in our text is the kindness of God. Do you notice in the text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, that God does not send us into battle empty-handed? But in fact, God gives to us every single piece of equipment and clothing that we need to take a stand against Satan and his evil schemes. God never leaves us to just kind of make it up on our own or to somehow try and improvise our way past Satan. He gives us every garment that we need, every piece of armor, so that we can stand against the devil. I wonder if you've experienced that reality in your life. You see, over the last 9 weeks, if you've journeyed with us, we've been making our way through this letter to the Ephesians, and it ends with this great clarion call from Paul to make sure that everything we're doing is bathed in prayer, that it lives in the atmosphere of prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, next week, we're starting a new teaching series. Guess what? On what theme? On prayer. We're going to be thinking about what that looks like for ourselves. But before we get to all of that, Paul has been telling us through chapters 1 through to 5 that God has clothed us for the whole of eternity. Paul speaks, didn't he, in this letter about being dressed up in grace, in the lavish grace of God. Paul talks about the garments of salvation that we get to wear. He makes reference to the idea that we are completely secure in Christ Jesus if we come to know him, and that we've been clothed in royal, or we might say in heavenly robes. But here's the thing that we need to notice. Although we're clothed for heaven already, we are still having to live here on planet Earth. If you live on planet Earth today, then you can be sure that you will face temptation. If you live on planet Earth today, you can be sure you'll face opposition, you'll face all sorts of discouragement and doubt and fear and anger and pride and bitterness. You will be subject to what we might call in our text today, spiritual attack. So Paul is wanting to say to us, even though you belong to and are destined for heaven, make sure that you are dressed ready for life here on earth, because there's a spiritual battle and it's real. The enemy is real. The danger is very real. You see, to be a Christian today, somebody who loves Jesus but not put on the full armor of God, is a bit like being a firefighter who dashes off to fight a fire wearing his dressing gown and a pair of flip-flops. It would be foolish, it would be dangerous, it would be asking for disaster. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, I've heard this, you are what you wear. Somehow the clothing that we wear gives us confidence and somehow establishes our identity. And Paul would want to say to us today, on behalf of God, you are what you wear. And if you wear the full armor of God, then you will have the ability to stand against Satan. So, we're on a battlefield, not a playground, and then Paul goes through the armor piece by piece. So he begins with what's been described as the belt of truth. Now, if there's one thing I know about Satan, myself and from Scripture, it's this, is Satan is a liar. Now, if Satan is a liar, then we need God's capital T truth to hold it together for us. And that was true for the Roman soldier. The belt that he wore was literally crucial. It wasn't just decoration, it held everything together. All the other armor, all the other pieces of equipment literally hung on his belt and gave him support and readiness and stability. If we're not wearing the belt of truth, Paul wants to say to us today, then we are not properly dressed for battle, just like a Roman centurion wouldn't have been. And Paul is saying here, look, that truth, God's truth, is the thing that holds everything together. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your Christian journey before, but when I start to question the truth of God, the capital T truth of God, then everything around me begins to loosen. My confidence begins to wobble. My obedience starts to slip. My prayers, suddenly when I lose confidence in the truth of God, become very uncertain. My assurance somehow starts to weaken. My ability to stand against Satan and his lies is badly compromised. Satan's main weapon against you and I is deception. He loves to lie about God. He loves to lie about you. He loves to lie about sin. He lies about our ability to be forgiven. He lies about our identity. In fact, Satan will lie about anything that really matters to you and matters to God. So the first thing we need, says Paul, is truth. Capital T, truth. Not vague spiritual feelings, not motivational slogans, not whatever happens to be the thing that brings us comfort in the moment, but we need the truth of God. You see, it's God's truth that holds us together when the lies of Satan come, and you can be sure that they will come if you're living for Jesus. Paul goes on to say, Satan does not only lie to confuse us, but two, he accuses us to condemn us. So Paul says we need what he calls the breastplate of righteousness. Now again, think about the Roman soldier for just a moment here. The breastplate literally protected the most important thing that the Roman soldier had, which was his heart, his vital organs. He could go and fight all sorts of battles and get all sorts of wounds in those battles, but if his heart was exposed, then he was finished on the battlefield. Paul wants to say to us this morning, or God wants to say to us through Paul, that for the Christian, righteousness, or we might say God's rightness, is what guards our hearts. It's not our own sense of righteousness or our own sense of rightness. It's the rightness that God gives to us that guards us. You see, if you are trying to live by your own righteousness, can I say to you this morning, that would be very, very thin armor indeed. It would be woefully inadequate. The righteousness that God gives us in Christ enables us to live with the truth that we have been accepted, that we have been forgiven, that the God of the universe loves us and he's cleansed us and he's covered us, not because we've somehow performed well enough in life, but because Christ has lived and he died and he has risen for us. And if we can live with that kind of breastplate on, then that impenetrable righteousness is going to guard us when Satan loves to fire his arrows at our hearts. Now, I don't know how Satan does that for you, but so often for me, Satan loves to remind me of my failures. He loves to bring up those old sins that actually God says were forgiven a very long time ago. He loves to whisper into my ear when things are tough, say, Chris, you think you're a Christian, do you? I'm not so sure. He loves to tell me that I'm too guilty to pray, that I'm too filthy to come near to a holy God, that I'm too far gone to be loved. Can you see why our own sense of goodness is always going to fail us if that's what we're using to guard ourselves? Those accusations will penetrate every time. But the breastplate of righteousness, says Paul, the gift that God loves to give to us, can stand against Satan and his schemes every single time. That's what guards the heart. So here's a question maybe for you this morning. When Satan accuses you, I wonder what you're trusting. Are you trusting in the righteousness of God and his goodness? Or are you trusting in your own goodness? You see, God invites us to stand with the breastplate of righteousness firmly in place. And he says, a bit like Batfink, if you're old enough to remember, your bullets cannot harm me, my wings are like a shield of steel. That's the breastplate of righteousness when we wear it. The bullets, the darts of Satan simply cannot penetrate. So Paul goes on, he says, look, once your hearts are guarded by the righteousness of Christ, actually you're not meant to stand still. The invitation is to go. The gospel or the go spell is not an invitation to say, good, I'm right before God, fantastic, I'm just going to stay still. But the gospel invites us to go to all the ends of the earth to share the good news that we've discovered in Jesus. And Paul speaks here about having our feet fitted with readiness. I love that idea, the idea that my feet are kind of ready to go for the gospel the minute God tells me and then I'm off. And Paul says to us, look, if you've got good footwear on, in the same way that a Roman soldier needed good footwear so that he wouldn't be unstable or vulnerable or easily knocked off balance, Paul is saying we need the same stability. And the thing that gives us that stability is what he describes as being the gospel of peace. Now, this is probably one of the hardest pieces of the equipment to try and get our head around here. I think what Paul means by this is he's wanting to say to us, we're ready because through Jesus, we already have peace with God, if only we'll stand in that truth. The barrier between us and God has already been destroyed. Our guilt has already been dealt with. If we know Jesus, then our sins have been forgiven. We're no longer enemies of God, but actually we're sons and daughters, and therefore that gives us peace. The peace of God. And if we know that peace of God, as we think about our feet being ready to go wherever God calls us to go, and we stand secure in that peace, then the minute God says go, we're ready to go because we know who we are in Christ. That's what this armor is able to do. As we think about having feet ready, it gives us peace, ready to speak, ready to serve, ready to forgive, ready to resist temptation, ready to share the gospel, ready to stand even when life is hard. Do you know that Satan's greatest delight is making Christians, and perhaps worse than that, entire church communities, passive, frightened, silent, and stuck? We will not be a passive church. We will be a church who, recognizing we're forgiven by God, will stand in peace and be ready to go whenever God calls us. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I wonder if you've got beautiful feet this morning. You're thinking, what are you going on? I've got bunions and warts and all sorts of things on my feet. But your feet are beautiful. Beautiful if you're ready to share this gospel of peace. I wonder if you've ever experienced, or maybe you're experiencing even right now, the flaming arrows of Satan that Paul makes reference to in the text. Perhaps you're experiencing them today as arrows of doubt. Can God really be trusted? Maybe a different arrow is the arrow of accusation. You hear the voice of Satan say to you, surely God could never ever forgive you for what you did. Maybe today you're wrestling with the arrows of temptation. Go on, that sin over there will really satisfy you more than even God can satisfy you. Maybe today you wrestle with the arrow of fear. Do you know what? You're on your own. God's not with you. Maybe it's jealousy or anger or bitterness, despair or pride. I don't know. Whatever the arrow, how do we extinguish them? Well, Paul says to us that we extinguish them the same way all the time. It's by faith. And faith means that we need to trust in the character of God. Faith means that we need to trust in the promises of God. Faith means saying, do you know what? I can't see everything at the moment clearly, but I do know who God is. Faith is willing to look at the cross and say, God has already proved his love for me, and therefore I don't need to earn it. So Satan, your arrow will not penetrate. It won't even touch me, because my faith is secure in this God who loves me. Faith is willing to look at all the promises of Scripture and say, God will never, ever fail me. So Paul says, take up the shield of faith. Don't listen to the enemy's lies, but trust the promises of Jesus. You see, faith in Jesus does not mean that the arrows will never come. Faith in Jesus means that when they do come, we have something to hide behind. The shield of faith. And then Paul goes on and he says, look, those arrows don't only strike the heart, which is where the attacker will always be aiming for, but they attack the mind. And so he tells us to wear this helmet of salvation. Now, obviously, helmets protect the head, don't they? And spiritually speaking, our minds need as much protection as they can possibly get. You see, the Apostle Paul seemed to know that. It's no surprise that in Romans chapter 12, what does he say? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You see, God really cares about our hearts. Yes, he does. But he cares equally about our minds. Because Paul says when our minds are renewed, then we will know God's good and perfect will. Satan delights in bringing confusion to our minds. He loves it when we feel fearful, when we feel condemned, when we feel despair. And so the invitation of God when you wake up in the morning is not to pick up your phone, but is to climb out of bed and pick up the helmet of salvation and firmly put it on. Because the minute we wear the helmet of salvation, we can stand knowing that our past sins have been forgiven. We've been saved. We can know in that very moment as we put on the helmet of salvation that we are saved in the present tense, and we can walk into our day knowing that whatever it brings and however we might slip up and fail, that we have been fully and finally saved for the rest of eternity because of Jesus. Past, present, and future salvation. So when the enemy says to you, do you know what, you're finished, salvation says to you, no, I'm not. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, and the helmet of salvation says to me that Christ has redeemed me. When the enemy says to you, you're beyond hope, salvation says, no, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation says to me that Jesus is a savior who saves sinners, of which I am the worst. When the enemy says to you, you'll never make it, the helmet of salvation says to you, it's okay. You're a work in progress, and the promise of God is he will complete the work that he's begun within you. And then we get to the last piece of the armor. If all of that stuff has protected us defensively, then as we get to the last piece of armor, we're armed offensively. In fact, this is the only offensive piece of the weapon that God gives to us, and it's the sword of the Spirit, or as Paul tells us, actually, this is God's word. When I think about Jesus as he was being tempted in the wilderness, do you remember what he did? He answered Satan every single time with scripture. Again and again, he said the same thing back to Satan when he was being tempted. It is written. In other words, I'm going to look at God's word and I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word. And it says there very clearly this: it is written. You see, when we're tempted, we need the word of God. When we're afraid, we need the word of God. When we're discouraged, we need the word of God. When we feel confused, we need the word of God. When we're under attack, we need the word of God. You see, a Christian who neglects scripture is like a soldier who's leaving his sword at home. So the invitation is to take up the sword daily, minute by minute, moment by moment, to read it, to learn it, to pray it, to believe it, and to use it. And then finally, as I finish, I want to encourage you to be a moose. I watched a brilliant David Attenborough documentary a while back about the Alaskan bull moose. And apparently during the autumn breeding season, the males battle one another for dominance. It's an epic sight. They go head to head, their antlers crash together with enormous force. And very often one of the antlers on one of the mooses will break. And when that happens, defeat for that moose is almost certain. The strongest moose with the largest and the strongest antlers usually triumphs. But here's the important point and why I want you to be a moose this week. The battle fought in the autumn is really won during the summer and the spring. The battle that is fought in the autumn is really won during the spring and the summer. Why? Because during the spring and the summer, the moose feed. They eat continually. They eat all the nutrients that enables their antlers to grow big and strong. The one that eats poorly is the one who enters the battle vulnerable. And I think there's a lesson for us here. Spiritual battles will come. Satan will choose his moment to attack. The question is will we be ready? Will we stand or will we fall? You see, much depends on what we do now before the battle has even begun. That's the bull moose principle. The battle is often won or lost before it even starts. So as I wrap up, here's the encouragement for you today, and it's this. Is to get dressed and be fully dressed. To make the choice not to wander around through your Christian life butt naked, but instead to put on the clothes that God gives you, to wear the belt of truth and to wear it with confidence, to wear the breastplate of righteousness and allow God to protect your heart when the attack comes. The invitation is to have your feet fitted with readiness, ready to go with the gospel of peace wherever God might call you. The invitation is to take up the shield of faith, to bat away the arrows that Satan will fire at you. The invitation is to daily put on the helmet of salvation that reminds you you were saved, you are saved, and you're being saved. The invitation is not to face the battle unprepared. Next week, we're going to head into a brilliant new teaching series that reminds us that all of this, the entire Christian life, needs to be bathed in an atmosphere of prayer. But this morning, right now, I just want us to pray and to be still. And I want to encourage you, just in the stillness, to take captive any thought that Satan persistently bothers you with. And as you think about that thing this morning, would you imagine yourself just putting on the belt of truth? Do you imagine yourself this morning rebuking the lie of Satan as you wear the breastplate of righteousness? I am God's and he is mine. Maybe this morning you just want to be praying that God would just make your feet more ready to share this gospel of peace. Maybe today you're under attack and you know what it is to face the arrows of the evil one. Bat them away with a shield of faith. Maybe today is the day when you put on the helmet of salvation and remind yourself that you're saved, not just for a moment, but for the whole of eternity. Or maybe today's the day when you need to, afresh or maybe again, maybe even for the first time, commit yourself to pick up the sword of truth, the word of God. To read it, to understand it, to apply it, and to stand on its truth. Lord, I pray, make us like the moose, ready for the battle, even before it comes. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.